A minister was once asked, "How many members do you have in your church?" His reply was that he had 1,000 members in his church. And then he was asked, "How many of them are active?" And his response was, "They're all active. 200 of them are active for the Lord. The rest are active for the devil." And his message was that we are all active for one or the other. He that is not for us is against us. And the Lord said that he that is not for me is against me. We come to Peter tonight and we wonder, where does he lie? Is he a servant of the Lord? Or, as we recently met him when he denied the Lord at the home of Caiaphas, was he not there serving the devil? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a number of aspects of ways that we could be useful in the Lord's work. We learned in John 20, verse 22, that to be useful to the Lord, we need to have the breath of the Lord's Spirit upon us. We are about a spiritual work. It's not to be done in the arm of flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And no man can serve the Lord unless we have the personal indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Last week in Luke 24, we saw that to be useful to the Lord, we need to have our understanding open to understand the Scriptures. And that unless we have that light given to us, that this Bible comes alive, that we can't serve the Lord. We will be merely serving in the deadness of the letter, but we will not have the power of God. Tonight we come to a third aspect of usefulness to the Lord. And the question came to Peter, comes to us, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" We want to look tonight at what is involved in a profession of loving the Lord Jesus. The first thing that I'd like us to point out tonight is that our religion is more than a set of doctrines. It is the person of the Lord Jesus. And of course, when it comes to doctrine, we need to define things very carefully. And theologians are inclined to split hairs and argue over the meaning of single words. And we want to get our doctrine right. And I am as big a contender as any that we need to be pure in our doctrine. We need to be specific in our doctrine. But you could have all of that, and you could get an A grade in passing the theological class, and yet not be useful to the Lord. Because it is not merely our head knowledge. It is our heart love for the Savior that makes us useful to the Lord. Our religion is really, when you whittle it all down to its lowest common denominator, our religion is based on the Lord's love for us. That love that we dwell upon and feast upon, that our communion table is all about, that preaching the cross, preaching the eternal love of God is all about, that love that Paul could not calculate nor measure. And he said in Ephesians 3, the love of God, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, the love of Christ which passeth understanding. And it is our heart being thrilled with the immensity and the constancy of the Savior's love for us that truly begins the Christian life in our souls. We as moral creatures, of course, are made to love. And if we do not love the Lord, we will love something or someone. For some, it is idols, man-made idols, objects of their own creation, gold, silver, carvings, images, pictures. Humanity is well known for creating his own idols that he will worship and love. For the secular man, it's money and materialism, riches and pride and honor of men. For some, it is purely self. People love themselves and make a god out of themselves. Superstition comes in. And they recognize that there is a higher power, one that they need to in some way respect or honor or pay tribute to, or things will not go well. As moral creatures, we are to love the Lord Jesus. That's what God has called us to do, to love His Son. He says in Psalm 2, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way." Love for Christ, of course, is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It is not rules, dogma, and intellectual understanding. It is a living experience. And Paul said in Romans 10:9 that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Sorry, that text is wrong. It's Romans 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we need that indwelling of the Spirit whereby we will rejoice in our Savior. We're told in Romans 6:4 that we're planted together in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. That means we're fused together into a union with the Lord. And the born-again Christian who is regenerated, Spirit-filled, will never again walk alone, act alone, act independently without grieving the Lord or pleasing the Lord. There is now a marriage relationship. There is now a new union in heart. I am my Savior's and He is mine. And so our religion is not about doctrines only, but about walking in fellowship and in communion with our Lord Jesus. And so love for Christ becomes the test of our theology. If your theology does not lead you to love the Lord Jesus with all your heart in purity, you've got the wrong doctrine. In a Greek class, and I believe this was at Westminster Seminary, Dr. Gresham Machen was called to teach that class. He was the Greek professor. At the first introductory day of class, he taught the students the meaning of the word love. And he quoted that simple little hymn that we have our children to recite. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And with the tears flowing down his eyes, down his cheeks, he was able to say to those students, this is the sum of Christian theology. Jesus loves me so, for the Bible tells me so. If you're in a church, or if you're in some book, and it's not melting your heart, it's not causing you to leave the world and all the idolatry of the world, and to be in greater love with the Lord Jesus, it's not the ministry that's of God. Love for our Savior is also the test of our sanctification. Do you want to know if you're growing in the Christian life? Do you want to know if you're making progress? Do you want to know if you're a better person tonight than you were this time a year or 5 years ago? The question is, do you love the Lord Jesus more? Do you have more of His heartburn? Do you have more delight in Him? Can you say that when He is preached and when He is presented to you in all His fullness, that your heart is stirred and moved? Can you say that when you're on your knees, that you have real personal communion with Him? That's how you know if you're really progressing in sanctification. This love is like a tree that matures. When a tree grows, it puts more roots underground than branches above ground. I wonder, can you describe your Christianity? And while people looking at you say, well, you're just the same Christian as you were a year ago or 5 years ago, but you know that the roots are deeper. You know that you're drinking of those wells of grace, even when there are times of drought around you, times of trial around you, times when the wind is blowing you in all directions, and your roots are deep, and you can truly say that you're finding contentment and satisfaction in your experience of the Lord Jesus within your own soul. And of course, love for Christ is the test of your preparation for glory. There's no greater test if you're ready for heaven, because all the saints in heaven spend all of their day and night, if there be a day and night. They spend all of their time, if there be time, in glory. They live in that eternal now, and it's all about worshiping, adoring, pouring out their praises before their Lord. Is that your religion tonight? Is that your faith and your experience of the gospel? If you can truly say, I love my Savior. Now, we don't in this world ever boast and say we love Him enough. But if you can truly say you do love Him, there is the test of true gospel religion. Now, secondly, we come to this issue where the Lord Jesus asked Simon this question, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter was put on the spot, and he was quizzed as to his humility. And if Peter was going to be useful to the Lord, he needed to learn the lesson that he was by no means the greatest disciple or a better disciple, but rather that he was one, while he loved the Lord, could not boast that he loved better than anyone else. Very interesting to note in these verses just how the Lord asks these questions. And if you run down your eye with these three verses, you'll see these three questions. Verse 15, the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? The first word, love, there is that strongest of all words for love, agapeo. Peter, do you love me with the love that God has? An infinite love? Peter replied, saying, thou knowest that I love thee. But he did not use agape. He used phileo. I have a strong affection, a human affection for thee. And here is the first test Peter passes. He humbles himself, and he is not boasting of his abundant, unending, unflinchable love. It is but a human love. And let's face it, brothers and sisters, that's all that we have to offer the Lord, is a human love. That's all we have. And it is only when the Spirit of God strives with us, It is only when the Holy Ghost fills us that that love is kindled into something acceptable to God. When mingled with the working of the Spirit of God in our hearts, then the love and the worship that we return to the Lord is acceptable. Now the second question, the Lord comes in verse 16, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And again the Lord said, agape. Do you love me with the love that God has? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But again, it's that word for human love. And Peter, biting the bullet, realizing by this time that the Lord was on to something, he confessed that all he had was a human love. And then verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. And this time, now I want you can mark this in your Bible, this time the Lord said, not agape, not do you love me with the love of God, but Peter, do you love me with that human love, phileo? Then you'll read, Peter was grieved. Here is the surgeon taking the knife, opening the wound, that there might be healing. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo, a human love. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest. Not just you know, but Lord, you know all things. Here is Peter professing that he has a human love, but he's saying, Lord, I want you to read my heart. He doesn't trust himself anymore. Let me tell you, that's a mark of growth, that's a mark of grace, that's a mark of great humility. When you, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, have had enough of failure in your life that you don't trust yourself anymore. That's a hard road to get to that point. For Peter, it was a road of bitterness and tears and disappointment. But it was the road that he must travel that he might be useful to the Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter was saying, Lord, thou knowest. You know the extent of love within me. I can't trust myself anymore. I boasted back there at the house of Caiaphas that even all others would deny thee. I would die for you, but I was the first to let you down. And the Lord has to work, and as I say, he's working here in love as a surgeon to open the wound, that there might be healing. Because in this very instance, the Lord is restoring Peter to service. And he's doing so before the other disciples. He's doing it publicly, that all may know, Peter is now my servant, and that I am checking out his heart, and I am letting him witness for himself that he has learned the needful lesson of humility, that he can't trust himself. And of course the Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Are you useful to the Lord tonight? Or are you boasting and saying, well, I'm better than other Christians. I have more love for the Savior than that other person. And maybe you judge that because you're more disciplined, or because everyone in your home is a Christian, therefore it is naturally easier for you. Or maybe because you come to more meetings per week than the other person, and you say, well, I am therefore a better Christian. I am therefore more in love with the Savior. But we can't trust ourselves to come to that conclusion. We only can fall on our knees and do what Peter said and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest. Now, he didn't deny that he loved the Lord. He didn't go into a sulking, miserable, backward mood. But he humbled himself before the Lord. And we have to do that if we would be useful. We must do that if we would serve the Lord. And so the Lord gave a new commission. And here is the new mark of love now. Those who truly love the Lord Jesus are willing to do the least. Because the first check mark was, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, yes. And the Lord said to him, feed my lambs. And the mark of humility is that you're willing to do the least before you do the greater task. Now, feeding lambs, having grown up on a farm, I know, is usually the task for children. And if you're able to walk and carry a bottle of warm milk, you're able to feed lambs. And off you're sent very often to that little pen where the pet lamb is kept, and you're given this, I remember my mother would have used a Lucozade bottle. Now, some people may wonder, what is Lucozade? Well, it was usually a drink you took to someone in hospital. It was supposed to be a very good nourishment, and it tasted quite well also. But the bottles were strong. The bottles would not break easily. And so very often they were chosen as the preferred bottle to feed pet lambs. And the warm milk would be put in, the teat would go on the top, and off you would go even as a toddler to feed lambs. It was looked upon as the most menial, easy task. And so it was. If that lamb knew where to find the teat and the warm milk, it was gone in seconds. It was an easy thing to feed lambs. And then, of course, as you get older, you get promoted to feed many other animals on the farm, and you get to do greater tasks. You know, the Lord is just like that in our Christian service, and it is the one that is willing to feed the lambs whom the Lord will use in His service to do His work. Now, when the Lord speaks here about lambs, what is He referring to? And immediately we do think of children. We do think of those little tiny tots. Some of them can't even speak the language yet, but they can absorb like a sponge. And parents and Sunday school teachers and all involved in teaching boys and girls, you are called to a great work, feeding the lambs. And sometimes Satan may whisper in your ear and say, boy, this is such a menial task. This is a nothing. But let me assure you, this is a great honor and a great work that the Lord calls you to. Then also there are the weak and the offended. Those who perhaps have been in the church circle and for whatever reason are hurt and need help. They need friendship. They need that personal touch in ministry. And perhaps the Lord would use you to feed that weak brother or sister. Are you willing to go out of your way to do the least for the Lord Jesus? That task that no one will notice, no one will ever see, but your commission to go and feed the lambs. Perhaps it's the confused, the one who has really not got things straight. And you'd rather just stay out of their way. It would be much easier. But they are just like a little lamb, lost, lonely, hungry, that needs to be cared for. Now, feeding lambs, as in feeding the weak and the lonely, is very good training to feed the sheep. And I recommend that every would-be preacher start with teaching children, visiting the lonely, visiting the offended and the sick. And it is there, as you pour out your heart for the Lord, that you will not only hear the voice, feed my lambs, but feed my sheep. The Lord Jesus is our great example in this. When the women brought their children to the Lord Jesus, the disciples would drive them away, but the Lord took them up in His arms and said, suffer the little children. Allow them. Allow them to come unto me. Our Lord had a ministry, even for children. And in the church of the Lord Jesus, there needs to be a vision and a zeal and a passion to minister to the youth, the children of the church and all around us. Growing up in a secular, humanistic society, boys and girls need to hear the gospel. Could you bring them along in your car to Sunday school? Could you organize a little Bible study in your home? Are there lambs running in your neighborhood that you could gather in for Bible stories? You say, well, I couldn't do it. Well, if you organize it, we'll get somebody to do it. We'll be glad to help in that. Here are ways that we can seek to minister for the Lord Jesus. What an insight we have here also to the nature of true ministry, and that is to feed. To feed. In the Greek language behind the translation we have, there are two different words. One is to feed, as to nourish. The other is to care for, as in governing and discipling. Peter was to do all of these. He was to be a feeder of the lambs and the flock. He was to govern or care for them. And you'll notice that the Lord said to Peter, feed my sheep. They weren't Peter's sheep. Not at all. The Pope would like to say that all in the flock are his. They're not his at all. They belong to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has bought them and paid the price for them. The Lord Jesus loves his flock as the apple of his eye. And I need to remember, and you need to remember, that when we're ministering to the Lord's sheep, they belong to him. We are the servant of our master. And we're back now full circle. The one who will care best for the sheep is the one who loves the shepherd most. And if the Lord was saying to Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. The precursor, the prerequisite to feeding was to love the Lord Jesus. And in the work of the ministry of the gospel, you are called to a part in this. Should you be at the prayer meetings of the church? Should you be at the Bible studies of the church? Should you be at the place of feeding and bringing others along? Yes. Why? Because you love the shepherd. You love the one who calls us to this work. And sometimes, as I said earlier, you have the preacher for roast preacher on Sunday after church. You say, boy, he just didn't get it today. There was no liberty. Couldn't get his foot on the gas. There was a holding back. There was something wrong. And the poor preacher just didn't perform. But you see, it's not because you love the preacher that you feed. It's because you love the shepherd. And pastors are weak at best. Frail at best. Changeable, not always up to par, but if we all love the shepherd, we'll want a part in feeding the sheep, feeding the lamb. And so I leave with you these commissions. Lovest thou me more than these? Are you willing to humble yourself with all your faults and failings, and with all your needs, and say, Lord, I want to get into a place where you can use me. I want to get into the place where I can be a part of the Lord's work. The Lord's church is never perfect. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven. But we do have a great work to do. Are you busy in that work? Are you fulfilling this commission to feed and to care for the Lord's flock? Let me ask you, what are you doing to enhance the work of this congregation? What are you doing to strengthen the weak brother? What are you doing to introduce people to the feeding ministry of the gospel? I have asked a number of people recently, what is the most effective form of building the church and getting new people in? And it's always the personal contact. The people that you know, that you can pray for, you can invite, and you can introduce to the life of the church. When we go knocking doors coldly, we've done it for years and there's very little fruit. When we advertise in the newspaper, it very seldom has much impact. We can praise God that there has been some response to our radio ministry. But the biggest impact on individuals is those that are in the life of the church, who put their arm around a friend or a neighbor or a family member and say, look, come and we will do you good. That is what God uses in the vast majority of cases in building His church. And if we care for soul, if we really love the shepherd, we will be busy in doing this. So I would beseech you tonight to answer this question. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? If the answer is yes, then let's get busy feeding the lamb and feeding the sheep. My job as pastor of this church is to take this very seriously. I need to make sure that I do give real gospel spiritual food. And we're not wasting time. I trust that you'll pray for that. And that as laborers together, we will see the Lord bless His church and feed His sheep.